Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Nation AM, Tony D, along with Ron Culver. Ron, are you getting in a better mood now that you found out Costco's getting rid of the hot dog?
No.
You still upset?
Dude, what other reason is there to go to Costco? You never go to Costco to save money.
Well, both of us, before the show, we were talking about, you said you were in a bad mood because Costco's getting rid of the hot dog.
You literally read that 2 seconds before I started talking to you.
And I'm in a little bit, I'm not in a grouchy mood this morning, but here's what happened to me yesterday. My wife and I just moved back to a town we lived in for 5 years. We spent 2 years out in the New York area, and then we moved back to the Nashville area. And we've been craving to go to this restaurant that we used to go to all the time in our little town. And it's a good restaurant. We love it, and we couldn't wait to go. So last night she said, oh, let's finally go. So we went. And what I didn't know was in the time away, it was bingo night, that they started bingo night. So when we walked into the restaurant, there was just this loud speaker of a woman going, O-55, I-13. It was really loud, and everybody's playing bingo, and I'm trying to eat dinner. And I swear, I feel like I'm getting old and grumpy, because as I sat there, I looked at my wife and I said, the next time we want to come here, you should call them and ask them if it's bingo night so we can avoid it. And my wife looked at me and said, I absolutely will not do that.
Now, was there crowd involvement? Like, if the lady said before, did everyone go after?
No, they did a little bit of that. It was a little bit of that. Not as much
as I
thought. I was a little disappointed. Not as much as I thought. But I wasn't playing bingo, and I'm trying to eat my food, and it's just constant bingo noise. And I thought to myself, I'm feeling like a grouchy, get-off-my-lawn type of guy.
Now, was it a restaurant that's struggling?
I've been away 2 years, so maybe in the 2 years it has been. But
I mean, it's not one of those places that Gordon Ramsay would visit, right?
Hey, if Gordon Ramsay came, he would be screaming, get out the, no more bingo. You don't need bingo. You need good food. And meanwhile, I'm grouchy sitting in the corner going, I don't want this. I don't want noise while I'm trying to eat. Well, we'll try to get through this throughout the day today, the morning this morning. We're going to talk about LeBron James a little bit more because it's official. And as quietly as he came is as quiet as he signed with the Lakers. We'll talk about the ramifications for the East next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I'm glad you could be with us here on your morning on SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio if you'd like to be part of the program. Yesterday, I spent a good amount of time talking about the LeBron James signing of the Lakers that happened a week ago. But not so much in the analysis of what this means to the Lakers and what this means in the West. More from the larger thought of, boy, this is so different than it was 8 years ago and so different than it was 4 years ago when there was so much fanfare and there was a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding LeBron's decision, right? Whether it was the actual decision television show to the letter that he wrote about going back to Cleveland and unfinished business and the working class nature of the town and whatnot. And it was rather quiet. I mean, it was rather a quiet agreement that he would join the Lakers and he went off on vacation. And then yesterday was the official signing to the 4-year, $153 million deal. And that was pretty much quiet, too. But, you know, it's still the ripple effects of this are things that we're going to have to analyze when we look ahead to what the NBA is going to look like next year. And it's going to look like a very strong Western Conference with an East where the teams are going to be good. Don't get me wrong, but it's going to be up for grabs. If you think about it now, the Eastern Conference is going to have a representative in the finals that doesn't include LeBron James since the 2010 Boston Celtics. And that representative could be the Celtics themselves. It could be Toronto. It could be Philadelphia. You're going to see a lot more, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee. There's going to be a little bit more looking around the East and saying, okay, look, as we give attention to these players, even when LeBron was in the conference, they're going to get a lot more attention now that he's out of the conference, right? Joel Embiid and the Sixers and whatnot. And I think this is going to be interesting. I am not, and I said this yesterday, I'm not doom and gloom on where the NBA is going. I don't necessarily like it from a standpoint of I do like a little bit more competitive balance, but I am one of those guys that gets pulled emotionally from that standpoint of saying, look, what I may want is not necessarily good for the players, and I'm a player's guy. I want mobility of the players. I want people to be able to go where they want to go. I want people to play where they want to play when they have the freedom to do so. They certainly don't need to be in bad situations because I want a more competitive feel. If LeBron wants to go to the Lakers and help an upstart Lakers team, even if it makes the Western Conference a lot more difficult and stronger and whatnot, God bless him. I mean, God bless him. And if DeMarcus Cousins wants to go play for Golden State to try to chase a ring, God bless him. I've seen others do that, and it hasn't worked out. And I've seen others do that, and it did work out. But at the same time, as a fan, I'm kind of like, ah, gosh, I wish it wasn't that way. But I'm looking at, look, I look at the East, and as this, you know, as a guy who grew up in New England and was a Celtics fan, there's a little fandom in me that says, you know, kind of excited that there's a possibility of the Celtics going back to the finals, and they should have gone last year and they couldn't get by LeBron James like everybody else. But also the emergence of what the Philadelphia 76ers are doing. And again, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving with the Toronto Raptors, all of the players that are in the Eastern Conference get a little bit more of a chance. But it's still amazing to me. And again, it's still amazing to me how this has now become sort of the ultimate business decision for LeBron James, right? Think about 8 years ago. Like 8 years ago was, hey, I want to play with some friends. I want to do so down in South Florida. I want to go win some championships. I know I'm looking around and I can't seem to find it here, but I'm going to make this big spectacle. And then, as I mentioned earlier, 4 years ago, it was returning to Cleveland, sort of that sort of redemption, unfinished business, trying to give that city a championship. But this was as business can get, right? Wants to be around in that area, likes that area, has two homes there. He's joining a franchise that has had just a huge, long history of excellent players, all-star, Hall of Fame players, a long tradition of excellence. And he gets to be a part of that. But he also has already established something beyond wearing a Lakers uniform, right? The Lakers uniform for LeBron James doesn't, you know, he's gotten that point without this, and then adding this adds to an already legacy. And if he can do something with that, like win a championship, it becomes a different way we look at his career. Like, I was talking to somebody just about a month or so ago. We were talking about LeBron, and he was a LeBron hater, and he just, you know, he's everything about LeBron he doesn't like, and I tried to reason with him on this account, but it didn't work. And one of the things he just kept talking about was LeBron's inability to win a bunch of these finals like Michael Jordan. And I said, well, look at what he's had to go through. Yeah, in Miami, it was. Not good to lose to Dallas when you were a better team on paper than the Mavericks. And yeah, that last NBA Finals loss to San Antonio did not look good at all. But he ran through a juggernaut in the Golden State Warriors when he was with the Cavaliers and still managed to get one. Right? I mean, he beat a 72-win team. And I know the finals record isn't good, but as I said, I used to say this all the time. Peyton Manning had this issue too, because Peyton Manning would be in the AFC championship games and he wouldn't win. But I would say, but if you look at that record in the AFC title game, he has a record in the AFC title game. And a lot of quarterbacks didn't. LeBron James has this huge, huge record in the finals showing that he constantly gets there. You may not like it, and it doesn't look pretty, and it's certainly not 6-0. But it's this consistent conversation. I wished my friend pulled himself back from that argument for a second and said to himself, you know what? I'm actually complaining that he has too many finals losses. Some guys won't get to as many finals as LeBron James has lost NBA finals. And yet, there's no, in between the numbers. There's no in between the, you know, you can't read between the lines. So to me, it just was yesterday, you know, seeing, all right, the signing and it's official. And it certainly has become a really, really quiet thing that he has been able to pull off. And a lot of it has to do with more coverage of what Golden State did. But I think also, too, there wasn't the fanfare. We've been left, as Ron and I talked about yesterday, left with stories about, well, maybe Kyrie didn't want to play with LeBron in the first place, or there's a different angle to LeBron here, or there's another story in the NBA that we can get to about Kawhi's discomfort in San Antonio with his relationship with Greg Popovich that may be more interesting and more compelling, and that's maybe why. But this is clearly zero on a scale. If the decision was 20 on a scale of, in terms of pomp and circumstance based on a move that you're going to make, if that's a 20 or 100, depending on your scale, this was zero. I mean, this was as quiet of a major free agent sign move that you can make. He said, I'll go to the Lakers, goes off to vacation. There's a picture on Twitter of him, you know, with his contract. We're talking about the best player in the league. We are talking about the best player in the league, one of the best players of all time, going to one of the most storied franchises in sports. Tell me the last time that has ever happened in any sport without the sort of hoopla and frenzy that we were supposed to have last week and we really didn't get it.
No, it literally was one of those alerts you get on your phone that you ignore.
Right. Oh, look at that.
Like, oh, LeBron signed. Okay.
I remember when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos. I was living in Nashville at the time, and I remember people in Nashville thought Peyton Manning was going to sign with the Titans. He had went to the facility. He had spent a long time at the facility. There was rumors that he was being offered a job for life, so he could just move right into the front office. And his wife was from Chattanooga. He's a college football god in the area. He knew the division. Oh, the pieces just seemed to play out really well. Like, oh, right, he's gonna become a Titan. And there was even one reporter that said it was a done deal and it was going to be announced the next day. He signed with the Broncos. That news alone garnered 3 or 4 days of over-analysis. And we were talking about a guy with a, you know, neck and how that was going to work out. This is an NBA whisper. It was an NBA whisper. It's fascinating to me. It's in a day and age where we need 24/7 everything. Over-analysis of everything. 17, you know, 7-member panels to discuss everything. This has gotten very, very light analysis. Don't get me wrong. We've had it. But it's been fascinating to me. And you know what? The guy who won in all this was LeBron James, right? Because I guarantee you this is exactly how he wished it would play out. I'm done with the, I don't need to do it on TV. I don't need to write a fancy letter and go into the, you know, poetic nature of why I'm moving on. I'm moving because I like this team. I like that area. And I got 2 houses. That's it. Bye. Off to Europe. Have fun. When I come back, we'll talk. And that's been about it. Still amazing to me. All right. 800-777-2907. If you want to get into the conversation. All right. Coming up next, we actually had a conversation, Ron and I, about this yesterday, about the United States and soccer and what's going on in the country. Well, Eric Adelson of Yahoo Sports has actually got a column on it, and we'll break that down and see where we're at in this thing. And we'll also talk a little bit more about what's going on in the NBA free agencies, because there is a couple of more moves I want to get to. I am Tony D. Ron Cover alongside. Thank you for joining us this morning on Sports SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, of O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store's prices on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So I started the show saying I was really grouchy last night at this restaurant. I've got to lighten up a little bit. I found myself doing this a little bit more, where I'm getting to be get off my lawn guy, and I never liked that personality, and now I find myself being that guy. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's all right to do that.
Like, I mean,
for
I was
certain
waiting
things
in line.
Where you have an expectation, if they're not fulfilling that expectation, you have a right to be get off my lawn guy.
I was waiting in line at a store 2 or 3 days ago, just before the weekend. And I was standing in line, and this lady was at the front, and she was putting her things through. And she started asking questions about a product, and the girl couldn't scan the price, and she had to get somebody to come over. And I literally gave this gigantic sigh that was audible by everybody around me. And my wife just punched me in the arm. She's like, cut it out. I go, and I'm thinking, what have I become? What am I becoming as I get older?
No, I'm the same way. Like, okay, over the weekend, we went to IKEA.
Oh, that's always fun. Did you get any Swedish meatballs while you were there?
No, we were. That was the whole plan, but that line was too long, and I was just like, I don't feel like waiting. You know, we got three boys with us, and it's chaos. They just want to run through and pretend like they live in all these fake rooms in IKEA.
Right. And just let them go. We'll see you at the entrance when it's time to leave.
And then we go to the checkout line, and I'm looking at it, and it's like a mile long. And I was like, oh, hell no, because the stuff that we have, I don't need.
Oh, I've done that before where I'm just like, put this away. I'm done.
That much stuff, and I was like, you know what? We'll go another time. IKEA's not going anywhere.
I got no patience for this, man. I got no patience. I can't stand in line at a store. Can't I just scan it with my smartphone and you can just take it out of my credit card and I'll just leave
okay, do you ever
take
have
it
this,
with me?
Do you ever have this feeling, say it's like the DMV or the bank or anything like that, and you're standing behind someone, you just can't fathom why it's taking that person so long. Then you get up there and you have your stuff together and you're in and out like you've occupied that space for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
At the most.
I've done that, yeah.
And I just don't understand, like, why don't you have your stuff together? If you're doing a return at, say, Walmart, because that's the worst place to do a return ever, because, first of all, the people behind the counter are incompetent. But it's like, hey, just have your receipt in hand. If you don't have your receipt, store credit.
No, when you walk
there's
in
no
with the product,
going into that.
If you're going to return a product and they say to you, do you have your receipt? You don't say, oh, it's here somewhere. And start rummaging through your purse or wallet or pockets to see if you can find it. Have it with you on hand. So they go, yes, here you go.
Or just have that expectation. You don't have your receipt. They're going to give you store credit. Be happy with it.
Be happy.
Because you will be back at that store at some point and using that store credit.
And like I said, grouchy old me will be happy so that I can get in and out and do whatever I have to do in my day, which is usually nothing. But still, that's none of your business. I might be a very, very busy person.
Right.
And
Costco,
to get in and out of the store quickly.
Costco, don't get rid of the hot dog. That's 90% of the reason why most people go there.
Yeah.
They don't go there to buy toilet paper in bulk.
God, I can go to Costco and I can get my whole family fed for like $7.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of Costco. You're already spending. Like, have you ever gone to Costco once and not dropped $100?
No, of course not.
Because everything there is $10. Whatever you're getting is $10.
Oh my God! When I go to Costco, I'm preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Are you kidding me? I'm loading up the bunker.
So that's what
makes 75 rolls of toilet paper for no reason at all. But you never know.
And that's why that food court that they call is needed, because after you drop all that cash in there, and you're like, oh man, it's like I can't afford to spend another dime. I can just not financially, but just mentally, I can't afford to do it anymore.
Yeah, and the kids are hungry, and you're like, oh, here's a $1.50 pizza with a soda. Excellent.
Because they also tease you, too, because you walk around, you get all these samples. Now, you can go up to the sample carts as much as possible, but usually
you'll... Hold on 1 second. Rewind that. Can you?
Oh, you can go as many times as you want.
Okay, because I...
That's documented.
I've had a debate with my wife about this. Every time we go in and it's major sample day... I think I can walk up there, and my wife says, no, they really don't like it when you go up a second time. You're not there to eat. You're there to sample. And I said, well, what if I like it? Like, if they give out a sample of something and I love it, why can't I go back again? She goes, well, yeah, but not as much as you do it.
No, but they may complain about you. They might be, get off my lawn girl. Because usually it's women. It's older women that usually do it. They might be get off my lawn girl every time you show up, but you can go as many times.
I bring the glasses and the fake mustache. I'm walking by and I'm like, whoa, that looks like a fine cracker pizza. I've never had this before. Let me try this.
Yeah, but a lot of times you'll try it and you'll be like, oh, this is really good. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
There's $10.
I have absolutely done that.
Give me my 1/10 of a size of that sandwich I just bit.
Are you kidding? I bought something in bulk my whole family hated, but I loved. My whole family didn't like this one particular item, and I loved it. I said, I'm buying this. So I had it all to my greedy, selfish self.
Yeah, but see, if America, if you're listening and you don't know the reasoning why they're getting rid of the hot dog, it's because they're wanting to have a more vegan-friendly menu.
Now, please stop this nonsense.
That's where I draw the line. If they were going to get rid of it for, you know, health reasons, I mean, they say they want to be healthier, but for, you know, to make it more vegan-friendly.
That's, what are they going to replace it with? Vegan hot dogs?
No, well, that not vegan hot dogs, according to them. I mean, they've already gotten rid of that.
Broccoli like, and cheddar cheese?
It was like that. You know, they had like a fruit sundae. It was really good. They got rid of that. Bad. They got rid of that for the acai bowl, which is not bad, but it's not. I want that frozen ice cream with fruit and sugar and just dripping all over the place.
Do you trust the American people that they will eventually force Costco to bring through protest and anger and bitterness and Twitter that they will force Costco?
See, I would like to say yes, but they already got rid of. I started off hot dog, but then the Polish sausage that they had, they were served in the same bun. They just flipped the wrapper. That's how you knew you had a Polish sausage. That was much better. It was a little bit of spice to it. And they got rid of that a while ago, and they're just only doing hot dogs. Now, if they get rid of the hot dog, I guess one of the things they want to do is have a more organic burger or something. I was like, I don't want a burger from Costco. I just want something quick that's readily available. I don't want...
It's cheap and will shut my kids up.
Yeah, that's why you just go pizza, you just go hot dog. And then you finish it off with a churro.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I'm a little stuffed from the 45,000 samples that I've had.
Well, because you got to go multiple times.
Because I go multiple times. I don't play that game where I take a cracker or something, whatever, and I eat it once, and I go, oh, this is fun. I can base my analysis on one little Dixie cup of whatever you're serving. What, are you kidding me?
The little Dixie cup of juice?
Would you like to try some pomegranate berry juice? Here's five droplets in a cup. And I drink it, and I go, oh, this is enough for me to buy six bottles of? No, pour a glass. Let me go up five or six times.
Exactly.
And I like the way the ladies take out the thing in the microwave. She's cutting it up into pieces. She's like, I was like, what's that? She's like, oh, this is boneless ribs. And they're eight for a dollar or whatever the heck they're selling them for. Then she starts cutting up the pieces. I'm like, put a couple of those in the little cup.
Oh, yeah, because you don't even taste it. It just dissolves in your mouth. Like, okay, I need,
exactly.
That whole tray. Just give it to me.
How about this? Give it to me, and I may actually make a sale. You might make a sale on this.
Yeah, but that's why you can go up multiple times. They don't care. They're just going to keep doing it. You have creepers standing there. You have the creepers who are also watching it.
Yeah. Well, I went to a sample thing, and they were doing Oreo cookies and Chips Ahoy cookies, and I was like, who doesn't know what these taste like? Who's eating this for the first time and was like, oh, what is this? It's a chocolate wafer with cream in the middle? Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic. I bet this would be delicious if I dunked it in milk. Who hasn't done that? No, give me something I don't know so I can purchase it. All right. Well, we're going to start to get in a better mood. Maybe one day the Costco hot dog will return.
All right. No, it isn't gone yet.
All right. So just fight for it.
We need a rally.
There's got to be something on Twitter we can do or we can start, or I'm sure somebody already has.
Some sort of movement.
Every time I think of something brilliant to do on Twitter, 2,500 people have already done it.
So you've thought about it just now. It's already out there. We just got to find it.
We've got to find it. It's already out there.
Find
it and support it. Save the hot dog.
Save the Costco dog.
God, it's great. I mean, don't ruin the wonderful establishment of cheap food at a bulk store. What, by the way, what's the official name of a place like that where you buy stuff in bulk?
Wholesale.
Wholesale, that's right.
Wholesale warehouse.
It was on the tip of my tongue. And I couldn't get it out. That's why I love you here. You're helping me out. I like that. I love when we go to Costco. There's nothing better than like I feel like I'm stocking for the winter. Like I'm just loading up the closet with all sorts of paper goods and all sorts of huge food items for the freezer. Like, I've got enough Hot Pockets to last until December. I mean, I love that feeling.
Yeah, it's one of those places that makes you think you should buy another fridge.
Yeah, that's exactly
just because.
Right.
It's like, oh, we could store meat.
We need a big freezer. Let's go buy half a cow while we're at it. All right, coming up next, state of the game with the NFL and the NHL and the NBA making moves. How's the state? We'll look at them next.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
At Tony D Radio is where you can hit us up for the show if you want to get your thoughts in. Ron Culver alongside. Thanks for making us part of your morning. Let's go to Anthony in Sarasota, 800-777-2907. Wants to talk some college football, which is getting close to media days next week. What's up, Anthony?
Oh, yes. I'm wondering if you could answer this for me. I always read, like, sports articles talk about realignment. And honestly, I'm reading in this article, they were saying that if realignment happens, the Big 12 would have to disband. Do you think what conference do you think Oklahoma, like TCU, like Texas would go independent, like Notre Dame and stuff like that? Because they have their own network, the Longhorn Network, and I don't think any other the SEC or ACC wouldn't allow them.
Anthony, I don't know if I agree with the premise. I don't think the Big 12 is going anywhere. I think the Big 12 will be around for a long time. Now, let's just say in a magical world it were to sort of dissipate, then it got gobbled up. It would be hard. Here's the deal. We all have ideas. Like, let's say just in this world that the Big 12 were to dissolve and these teams were free agents to sort of go wherever, which conference would they go to? First of all, if I'm Oklahoma, I don't get anywhere near the SEC because they've had this sort of cool rivalry with the SEC where they talk
about ACC.
I don't know about that. Like, Lincoln Riley was already talking about Georgia's defense, and you know, Georgia's defense wouldn't be good if it was playing in the Big 12. Right? I mean, Bob Stoops used to take his shots at the SEC all the time. Just as a culture, if I'm Oklahoma, I would probably go to the Pac-12. I wouldn't go to the ACC. But here's the other thing. All of those aren't really based on sort of these ideological beliefs, right? Well, we want to be in the best conference, or we want the best competition, or we want to reunite with this other school for a rivalry, or, you know, like Oklahoma, like, oh, maybe the Big Ten would be cool because we could go back and play Nebraska. It wouldn't work that way. It would be monetary. These conferences would make their pitches. There would be how much of the pie am I going to get out of this deal? What kind of television exposure am I going to get out of the deal? What is the television contract? How much of that is divvied up? How much of the pie is going to be shrunk if I join this? But if I join this conference, what will it be like? What's my travel situation? Because what a lot of people don't understand about this is football, no problem, right? If you were, let's say you were a West Coast team and you could play in the SEC over this massive realignment, football has no problem, right? Football's big money, it flies. But what about your gymnastics team? Like, if you're an Arizona school and somehow you end up in the Southeastern Conference, like, how does your golf team travel? How does your gymnastics team travel? How does your track and field swim team travel? I made that thought about West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia is not next door to Texas, for crying out loud, right? And yet the Mountaineers, when they play these Big 12 games in these other non-revenue sports, you know, that's where they go. They have to get on these softball teams, travel all the way out to Oklahoma for games. You know, baseball teams have to do, I mean, it's so, there's all of those configurations. But I don't agree with the original premise. I don't think that the Big 12, I mean, they just brought back a conference championship. I mean, I think a lot of that talk stemmed from this overall belief that college football was going to be like two or three conferences and that's it. Like, everyone was just going to get sucked into the system.
If let's say that did happen, do you think West Virginia would go to the ACC or would they go
I could see. Oh, yeah. I could see. If West Virginia was thinking about going somewhere else, I could see them going to the ACC, especially in basketball. I could see them totally do that, especially in hoops. Because, I mean, look, one of the best documentaries I ever saw was one of the best 30 for 30s, at least for me emotionally, was Requiem for the Big East, because I was a big, big, Big East kid growing up. I mean, I used to love watching Big East basketball. Just to come home, watch the night games before I went to bed. And when they started talking about how the Big East was, you know, it wasn't going to be Georgetown, Syracuse anymore, and all these schools were sort of disappearing. A lot of it was because of football and what it used to be and what it was. Jim Boeheim said it best. He said, look, things don't last forever. And those old days, we can pine all we want, but they're gone. You know, I mean, if you had told me as a kid watching great Big East basketball, I mean, really, really great Big East basketball in the 80s, that one day Syracuse would play in the ACC, I'd probably take the bet and lose.
Oh, wasn't it just even like the late 90s? Then they throw in like almost, I feel like they had like 11 teams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like they had, bringing everybody.
There was only like two or three teams in their conference that didn't make it into the tournament.
Yeah. And I'm getting to a point where I get to a point sometimes, and I do this because of, you know, my brain is holding less and less as I get older, is I will forget sometimes that schools have transferred out of like, I will think that like a Maryland is still in the ACC when they're in the Big Ten now, and I'll just it'll slip my mind. Or Syracuse, sometimes I forget they're in the ACC. I mean, look at the ACC now. I mean, it's like two pages deep with the amount of teams that are in basketball, right? I mean, that's what realignment can do. I mean, it is a football-driven decision that affects other sports. I don't think the Big 12 will dissolve. I think people are wishing it would, because I think there's this utopian belief in college football that if it was under less and less divisions, like scrutiny in terms of conferences and which conference is better, and when we're analyzing teams and we're picking out, all right, this conference is weaker and that conference is stronger, so a two-loss team from that conference is still better than a one-loss team from that conference based on conference perception, that if we can just base it on just schedule alone and everybody sort of playing almost the schedules that are just bouncing around all over the place, and then somehow it would make the decisions easier. I don't buy it. I just think it's too utopian of a thought. I think these conferences are businesses, and they're big businesses, and they ain't going away. They're just going to try to be better. And the financial struggles that some of them are in, they're just going to try to fix them. So, but but in a perfect world, in a world where Oklahoma was a free agent, they would never play in the Southeastern Conference. I think the culture has already put that, the two sides have been going at it forever and ever. I used to do a radio show in Colorado, 10, 12 years ago, maybe more than that. And my I'm a big SEC guy. I went to an SEC school. My wife went to an SEC school. And my co-host was a gigantic Oklahoma fan. And he wasn't even so much a Big 12 fan as he was an Oklahoma fan. And we used to get in it all the time. He would just make random comments like, you know, Florida, when Florida was really good. Like, Florida's not as good as you think. And I'd say, well, what makes you say that? Well, if they were playing, you know, in the Big 12 every week, they'd have five losses. I'm like, no, they would not have five losses. He's like, they'd be 6-6. Just throw that out there just to see if it would stick and drive me crazy.
No, but if Oklahoma was to jump ship from the Big 12, they would go to the Big 10.
They did, yeah.
Because where you're talking Maryland and Syracuse, I still think of Nebraska as a Big 12.
I do too. I mean, I really do have to pause sometimes and kind of remind myself, like, oh my God, I'm living in a new world.
It's still really surprising. I mean, it's like that ostrich. You put your head out of the ground. And you're like, hey.
Then again, when I was in second grade, maybe even first grade, I got in an argument with my teacher because I said Atlanta was on the West Coast. Atlanta was in California. And she kept asking me why I thought, no, she goes, no, Atlanta's, look at the map. Atlanta's right here. I said, no, Atlanta's over there. And because the Atlanta Falcons played in the West,
yep,
and the Atlanta Braves played in the West. So in my sports-minded brain as a 6-7-year-old, there was no way that the city of Atlanta could be placed on the eastern side of the United States. It didn't make sense. One sport could get it wrong, but two sports couldn't get it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, at least they got when the NFL decided to realign and go to four divisions, at least they got that right.
Yeah, at least they got the geographics right.
I mean, Cowboys, they're not really anywhere near the East, but it's tradition.
Yeah, you're not going to take them out of the Giants and the Redskins and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, that was just not going to happen.
But
Arizona that was floating in this as the fifth team, that could easily be jettisoned.
Yeah, I can see how, you know, Atlanta being the NFC West.
Man, I'm telling you, it was hard as a kid. I remember getting in. My father was like, no, it's Georgia. Stop. I'm like, get it. Look, they have to play San Francisco every week.
And they're in the LA Rams playing in the Coliseum.
Yeah, the LA Rams in the Coliseum. Oh God, geography. But no, back to his point. I mean, conference realignment. I mean, I know schools that have really struggled with some of the travel they have to do for the non-revenue sports. It's not easy.
Right, well, but it seems like that conversation's died too.
Yeah. Oh, the realignment thing. Oh, it was how How long ago would you think it was? I'm thinking four or five years ago.
Well, I was going to say like 3 years ago.
Maybe it was really the
Big 12 was just going to dissolve and everyone's foaming at the mouth. Like, who's going to get Texas? Who's going to get Oklahoma? Ooh, this is going to be so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh, that and you're right. That wasn't that long ago they were having that conversation. I just don't see it as big now. And I think the Big 12 has sort of shored itself up a little bit.
Yeah, especially when it comes to college basketball. Because, I mean, they've been doormats year after year after year in college basketball. But they seem to be a little bit more on the rise now.
Yeah. I wanted to get to this. The Madden 2009 quarterback ratings were out. And thanks to Pete Futek.
2009?
2019, I should say.
Oh, 19,
no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mike Florio put this out. Highest rated quarterbacks for the Madden 2019 video game are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, and Matt Ryan in that order. Now, I don't know if that's a big deal to people, but apparently, Ron, that's a big deal to people. Which quarterbacks are ranked higher? I haven't played Madden since about 2008, 2009 is when I stopped playing Madden. But I am glad that 10 years later, the ratings of the quarterbacks are still making news in the game. I'm glad it's still there. By the way, how can you be
upset with that listing? I mean, is it Russell Wilson? Is he too high?
Russell Wilson is, let me look right here. I think he was in the low 90s.
Yeah, but I mean, he's ranked four out of.
But he's right. He's ranked ahead of Matt Ryan, which I wouldn't have guessed, but that's fine if that's how they break it down.
Well, he didn't have a good year last year, so he probably took a few points off for last year.
I love the stories of the athletes who get their Madden rating and then they lose their mind. They have to call the company to break it down. Like, oh no, no. My speed isn't 87. My speed's at least a 92. You haven't seen me work out this off season. And catching ability, 85? Who are you kidding? What video are you watching? What film are you watching? Check me out against the Cardinals last year. Hey, 12 catches.
Yep, one game.
Yeah, one game. You should watch that and make your rating. Oh man, the thing that has made me sad is that the college football game has been discontinued.
Well,
since
I was just going to bring that up. Yesterday was actually the anniversary.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw that on Twitter.
Yesterday was the anniversary of what was it? 2014.
They had Michigan was on the cover. Somebody from Michigan on the cover.
See, now that one, I'll still pilfer my kids' PlayStation every once in a while and throw that in there. And they're like, why are you playing? I'm like,
oh, I still love that.
That was the best game ever.
My daughter likes NBA, the NBA 2K games, like 2018. And one of the things I noticed in being in broadcasting is that the broadcasting feature of that game is flawless. Hmm. There's like so much more detail. Like, you know, because the old days, the audio would be like, and he gets a touchdown. And they wouldn't give you the name. Now they give you the name and the statistics. And I keep thinking about the guys like that have to, you know, go in there, like Kevin Harlan and the broadcasters who go in there, Jim Nance, who used to do it and whatnot. How much they have to read, how many lines of text do they have to read to make the game sound smooth when you're broadcasting?
Hey, don't pull the curtain back. It's all natural. Those guys are literally calling the games as you're playing, Tony.
That's right. But like my daughter's playing with Golden State and like she makes Steph Curry shoot all the baskets. And at one point I hear Steph Curry with 38 points in the first half. And I'm thinking, how do you write that in text? And at what point do you say that's enough? We're probably never going to have a situation where he's got 72 points in the first half. You don't have to read that anymore. Or am I being computer naive?
Is there a computer engineer going?
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. It's all good.
They say all the numbers, and then everything's just kind of pieced together. It's all coding.
I don't like that, man. I don't like that because we're editors, man. There's some when you chop and chop and chop, it sounds choppy, right?
But it's all code.
Yeah, it's all code. You're right. Listen to me. I don't know. I just live in my own little world when it comes to this stuff. That's crazy. All right, 800-777-2907. Thanks, Anthony, for the telephone call. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the conversation we had yesterday on soccer in just a couple of minutes. That's next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, back to the Madden situation, one of the things I will say is that I'm very glad that the technological advances that we have in video games have really progressed to what I envisioned when I was a kid. I'm not going to give away my age, but I'm, you know, I grew up in the 80s. And the Atari 2600 that I grew up with, if you wanted to play football, it was three-on-three guys that all moved with your controller at the same time. And you had to just, and the whole football screen fit on your television. That was the entire football field fit on your television. And it wasn't until like a few years later that they had a game called Real Sports Football, in which the screen scrolled left or right. So it, you could play on a field where you get a little bit better dimensions. But we used to talk as children, we used to talk about a day in the future where you could actually be the people. You could actually be the players. And when I was in college, I went and bought a Sega Genesis for the only reason I bought a Sega Genesis was because NHL hockey had all the teams and the logos and all of that. And that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. So I love that the Madden franchise and the NBA franchise has been able to do this. Because Dr. J versus Larry Bird on my Commodore 64 was as close as I got. And even that wasn't good enough. It is Tony D, SB Nation AM.